Well, the readings today have a rich fare, if you will, of teachings. I'm entitling the message today, Five Fundamentals of a Firm Faith. Five Fundamentals of a Firm Faith. Now, normally, as you probably have noticed, I usually pick one reading and draw from it entirely. But today I'm drawing from really all the readings because they all have such important and rich things to teach us. So again, five fundamentals for a firm faith. Now, the first fundamental is want. Want. You know, an awful lot of life comes down to what you want. We tend to do what we want to do. Or is it just me? We it's so easy for us, you know, to possibly say, well, you know, I can't find time to pray. I can't find time to get to church. I can't find time to serve the poor or whatever thing the Lord might ask us to do. It's too easy for a person to just say, I just can't find time for that. And yet these same people find time to watch TV, to eat, to sleep, and so on. You see, we find time for everything else, but we have such a hard time in finding time for the Lord. And it really comes down to what we want. Now, there's some people today who are going to spend 4 to 8 hours watching football. Some of them, in order to do it, will pay hundreds and hundreds of dollars to go and sit in a cold stadium, maybe even get rained on. And if the thing goes long, you know, like into overtime, they're going to say, wow, great! But the same folks would be very upset if the church service went longer than an hour and the sermon went into overtime, all right? Now, you see, it's about what you want. We tend to find time to do the things we want to do. And the things we don't want to do, well, we just suddenly, for some reason, can't find time. So notice what the apostles say. They say, they're kind of aware of this, and they say, help, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. You see, in the end, an awful lot of life comes down to this question of desire. And what they're asking the Lord to do is, Lord, give me a new mind and give me a new heart. A heart that wants what you want, that desires what you desire, that desires and wants to keep the commandments that you've given, that loves to be with you, to pray to you, to rejoice in your presence. Lord, make me want to pray, to go to church, to love God, and to love you, God, and to serve you with all my heart. Lord, please increase my faith, because I got a messed up heart. For some reason, I want to watch 4 or 5 hours of a bag full of air going up and down a field, but I don't want to pray to you. There's something wrong with that. Are you agreed? There is just something wrong. We want things that are passing away, that we're not even going to remember in a few years. Who won the Super Bowl 4 years ago? I don't know. Maybe some of you do. But the world around us is passing away, but our hearts are kind of messed up because we got our hearts set on sand, and the Lord is saying, set your heart on solid rock. Put your heart on things that don't pass away, that will live and be forever. Huh? But you see, we're a little messed up, aren't we? We want things that are flimsy and passing. But we pass up on things that are lasting and really glorious. So that's what the apostles are saying today. They're saying, Lord, our hearts and our minds are a little messed up. Increase our faith. You see, if you want to pray, you're going to find time for it. If you want to be in church on Sunday and praise God you're here, you'll find time for it. If you want to serve the poor, you'll find time for it. If you want to study your faith and learn to keep the commandments, you'll find time. You'll have the energy and the zeal and the joy of doing it. See, and that's this first understanding, that if you want a firm faith, ask the Lord to give you a new heart. A new heart, because our hearts are messed up. Are you clear that our hearts are messed up? We desire things that are flimsy and passing over and above things that are eternal and lasting. So it is the first fundamental for a firm faith is, Lord, give me a new heart. Sometimes we pray, we say, Lord, help me to pray better. But what we really ought to say is, Lord, help me to want to pray. Because if we want to pray, we're going to pray. If we want to do the things of God, we will do them. So again, increase my faith, Lord. Give me a new heart, a new mind, a mind that has your priorities and sees things more the way you see them and understands priorities and things in this life more as you see them. See, that's what the apostles are asking. So again, the first fundamental of a firm faith is want. Want. Now the second one is wait. Wait. The readings today remind us of this fundamental that we've got to learn often to wait on the Lord. It says here in the book of Habakkuk that we have here him crying out to the Lord. He says, how long, O Lord? I cry for help, but you don't listen. I cry out to you violence, but you don't intervene. And why do you let me go on seeing ruin? And why do I have to keep on looking at misery? Destruction and violence are all before me. Strife and clamorous discord. Anyone ever been there? Anyone had to wait on the Lord? Just wait on the Lord. And brothers and sisters, I don't have little platitudes and sayings and slogans to give you to take away the mystery of this. I don't absolutely know why God often says to us, wait. But he does it a lot, doesn't he? Anyone been praying a mighty long time for something? And it may be something that we think is very urgent. Maybe someone here is looking for a job right now. Maybe someone here is struggling to really have a breakthrough in your health. Maybe someone here is waiting for a loved one to come to their senses. You've been praying and praying and praying. Maybe someone feels something very urgent, and it just seems that God just keeps saying, wait. And it can frustrate us to no end. And I don't have a simple answer for you. I can't tell you. This is why God makes us wait. There's a mystery in this. However, some thoughts, perhaps God is trying to strengthen our faith. I know this, that when I've learned to hold out and God comes through for me, my faith is stronger than if he just answered me at the drop of a hat, and I would sort of discard that gift. I wouldn't treat it as much of a gift as after many long hours, days, months, or years of praying for something. Now that's a much stronger gift. And maybe my faith is stronger that way. Maybe God is telling me to wait because he wants me to clarify and confirm my own desires. I don't know, brothers and sisters. I don't have simple answers about this. There is a mystery in this understanding of this fundamental that we have to learn to wait on the Lord. Now, the text goes on to say that the rash one has no integrity. Now, integrity refers to having all the pieces together. It's related to the word integral, which means all the pieces of a puzzle are in place. And what this text is saying is that it is an integral and fundamental part of the Christian faith to learn to wait and to not give up and not just get angry with God and walk away from him and to hang in there and to keep praying. This is integral. This is fundamental to the Christian faith, that we just have to learn to wait. You know that old gospel song, you can't hurry God. You just have to wait. Trust and never doubt him, no matter how long it takes. He may not come when you want him, but he's always right on time. God's time is not ours. It's fundamental. It is a fundamental of the Christian faith to learn that we've just got to wait on God. Now, there are so many texts in the scriptures that teach us that those who do wait will get blessings. For example, this reading today from Habakkuk began And with all of this, I'm calling and you're not answering. And the Lord simply says, write down the vision clearly so that one can read it readily. The vision still has its time. It presses on to fulfillment. It will not disappoint. If it delays, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not be late. So for those who wait, there are rewards. God promises them, but we have to learn to wait. Psalm 37 says, do not fret. It only leads to evil. Those who wait for the Lord will possess the land. Isaiah 49 says, those who wait for me shall not be put to shame, says the Lord. Lamentations 3 and verse 25. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is a good thing that one should learn to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Isaiah 40 and verse 31. Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. Waiting brings strength. Waiting builds us up in the end. Somehow this mystery of waiting is all tied in to our good. Our good. God has something in mind. He's up to something good, even when he makes us wait. Oh, gospel music is rich in this idea of waiting. Amen. I just quoted you that gospel song, but some others come to mind too. One song says, I promised the Lord that I would hold out. Said he'd meet me in Galilee. Another song says, hold on, just a little while longer. Everything is going to be all right. Another song says, keep your hand on the plow and hold on. Another song says, Lord, help me to hold out until my change comes. Anyone have to do some holding around here? I'm holding on fast. Say, Lord, I'm still waiting, Lord, but I'm still holding. Don't give up on the miracle a half hour before it happens, all right? Keep holding to God's unchanging hand. Don't let go. Again, the mystery of waiting and the promise that those who wait will be blessed is a firm fundamental for a firm faith. So of the two, or the five fundamentals, we've looked at two. That is, we should want and we should wait. And the third fundamental is that we should withstand. Withstanding. There is, in the second reading today, as Paul writes to Timothy, he's writing to a younger bishop, and he's saying, man, I laid hands on you. Now, don't disappoint me. He says, God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather of love and of self-control. Do not be ashamed of your testimony to our Lord. And bear your share of the hardships for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. There are hardships in life. We just might as well say amen. Life can be hard. You know, some people think that I'll become a Christian and everything will just be peachy. But in the end, very often, in fact, life does not only get easier. It may on the inside, our ability to put up with and understand life, but on the outside, life can get even harder when you become a Christian. You know, because the world starts to hate us. If you really try to live your Christian faith, just know this, the world will hate you. The Lord says, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. And the Lord said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. But have confidence. I've overcome the world. Now, for those who really try to live the Christian faith, we can expect some persecution, ridicule. We can expect to be misunderstood. We can expect even to be hated. Hated by the world. Because we preach a gospel which is foreign and alien to the values of this world. This world values material things. The gospel values spiritual things. This world values promiscuity. We value chastity. This world values revenge and getting back and destroying one's enemy. And we value forgiveness and mercy and kindness and understanding. Oh no, this world will not make peace with the gospel. If you want to try to live the faith, you can expect to need courage. You got to expect to be able to withstand, because the world will not easily accept these sorts of things. And some of that comes from your own family. Come on, don't tell me that there isn't some folks in your own family that say, oh man, there you go with that Christian stuff again. Why are you giving all that money to the church? Why are you blessing the poor like that? You know, why? What do you mean forgive? Oh, don't talk to me about chastity. Come on, that's an old-fashioned idea. And on it'll go, right in our own families sometimes. I promise you, if you try to live the Christian faith, you will experience some hatred from this world. Now, if you want to be one of those Christians that's just working at fitting in and keeping peace with the world, well, then you might not get persecuted. The world congratulates you. Say, hey, you're a great guy. You're really open-minded. They'll call you all kinds of pleasant things. But by the way, next time somebody calls you narrow-minded, just say thank you. Because Jesus says that the road to salvation is narrow and few find it. So next time someone calls you narrow-minded, just say thank you. But again, if you want to be one of those Christians that fits in, yeah, you might not get persecuted. But if you try to live the faith, I promise you persecution. You know, the book of James says, a friend of the world is an enemy to God. Too many of us want to be a friend of the world, and in so doing, we compromise our faith. And so Paul writes to Timothy, learn this fundamental of the faith, to withstand, to have courage. You're going to need courage, because if you want to live the faith in a world that is inimical to the faith, is hostile to it, you're going to need courage. You're going to need to have strength that comes from God. You're going to need to learn to withstand. And not only will we have to learn to withstand in terms of the world's hatred or misunderstanding or ridicule, but even just living the gospel requires that we withstand some sinful drives within us. You know what it is? We all have them. And it's easy to give way to our sinful drives. That's easy. It's harder to resist and to exercise self-control. Now, the world says if you got an itch, scratch it. That's easy. But the Lord says there are some drives in you that are either excessive or wrong, and you need to learn self-control. You need to learn to withstand the buffets of temptation and of sin. And so it is. St. Paul again writes to Timothy, God did not die on the cross so that you could be a coward and give way to temptation or to the world. God did not die on the cross so that you would be ashamed of your testimony to the gospel. Jesus did not die on the cross to make us to be cowardly or to lack self-control. So bear your share of the hardships that inevitably come from living the Christian faith in a world of temptation, in a world that is hostile to the faith that you have been given. So the third pillar, or the third fundamental of firm faith, is to withstand. So we need these pillars. First of all, want. Secondly, wait. Thirdly, withstand. And next, work. Work. We have a text here which, if you read it out of your flesh, you're going to get mad. Did you hear the text? It said this. Jesus said, you know how it is with you and me? I'll tell you how it is. It's like a servant who's been out laboring all day in the field, and he comes back to the house, and instead of the landlord saying, man, you really look tired, let me give you a meal, the landlord says, you ain't done yet. Now you fix my meal, put on an apron, and serve it, and then you can eat. And he says, this is how it is with you and me. When you have done all that you've been told to do, simply turn to me and say, I'm just a useless servant. I only did what I was told. Now, does that make anyone a little mad? It makes me a little mad to the degree that I read this text out of my flesh. My flesh says, wait a minute. If I work hard, I deserve a reward. Someone better applaud. Somebody better say, man, that Pope's a great guy. And I sure expect something from God. I did something nice for God, so God's got to do something nice for me. Now, that's my flesh, right? That's the flesh. But brothers and sisters, the Spirit says, everything is grace. And therefore, here's the teaching on grace, and pay attention, because our flesh needs to die and our spirit needs to come alive. First of all, there is nothing that I could ever do to put God in debt to me. Nothing. Are you praying with me? Every good work that I do, every keeping of the commandment or serving the poor or walking the streets of this neighborhood and evangelizing, preaching the gospel, whatever I'm doing, it is not my gift to God. It is God's gift to me. And I have only one thing to say to God at the end of the day. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. I'm just glad to be your servant. You see, that's the Spirit. The Spirit is saying to us, everything is gift. There is not one thing that I can do which is good or lasting or helpful, which is not, first of all, God's gift to me. And if I worked it, it wasn't I who worked it. It was God who worked it through me. And so you see, the Lord says, you have to understand something. I have a work for you to do. It was not you, though, who chose me. It was I who chose you to go forth and bear fruit that will last. So the Lord is teaching us. We do have a work to do, but don't boast in it. And don't think that you somehow God will owe you something. Now, God does say He's going to bless us if we're faithful. But that is His business. Well, I did this, so you have to do that. That has to go. No. Everything is gift. God does promise reward to those who are faithful, but that's His business. You can't sign a contract with God. You just can't do it. So, the fourth pillar of a firmer, the fourth foundation of firm faith is to be willing to work, not looking to rewards, but simply allowing God to work a work through me. To say, Lord, if you can use anything, you can use me. I'm just your servant. Tell me what to do. Tell me how long to do it. And I'll just say at the end, thank you, Lord. Thank you. So again, work is the fourth foundation for firm faith. We've seen again that we have to want it, want good, strong faith. We have to wait, withstand, and work. And this leads me then to the final foundation of firm faith. Simply this, win, win. Brothers and sisters, the Lord is not telling us these difficult things just to make life difficult or to discourage us. He's saying, don't you understand something? Learn to want deeper faith. Learn to wait and withstand and work. And I promise you something, it's going to lead you somewhere. It's going to lead you. The Lord doesn't ever tell us to carry a cross, whether it's the cross of waiting or withstanding or working. The Lord doesn't tell us to carry any cross except one place, to glory. To glory. The cross, I promise you, in the Lord Jesus Christ, the cross leads to resurrection and to glory. To glory. We are called to win. Now listen to what the text says here from Habakkuk that we finished on. The Lord reminds us, for those who wait, for those who work and withstand, to those who really want to walk in the ways of the Lord, it simply says this. The text says, the vision still has its time. Oh, no, we're not in heaven yet. We have a little foretaste of it here in church, amen? But we're not in heaven yet. The vision still has its time. It presses on to fulfillment, but it will not disappoint. It will surely come, and it will not be late. Oh, church. It's an old gospel song. I think Richard Smallwood wrote it. It says, don't give up, or don't give out, and don't give in. With Jesus Christ, you're going to win. You will win the battle if you stay with Jesus Christ. If you accept that we have to want deeper faith, if you accept that we have to wait and withstand and work, I promise you in the Lord Jesus Christ, complete and total victory, one day with Him forever in glory. The Lord has promised us this, and He will deliver. Now, this text says four things about this victory that we're going to have. That is future. Yes, the vision still has its time. It presses on to fulfillment. Not only is it this victory future, but it's fantastic. It says, the text says, it will not disappoint. Oh, church, meditate on heaven. Think about the glory that's waiting for all of us if we but follow the Lord on this path of the cross. Not only is this victory future and fantastic, it's firm. The text simply says, it will surely come. Do you believe that, brothers and sisters? It will surely come. Not only that, the text says it's not only future and fantastic and firm, but it is fixed. The text says it will not be late. One day, when our days are up, the Lord has something to show us. So, brothers and sisters, if you want faith, the Lord can give it. And if you're willing to wait while He works things in your life, if you're willing to withstand and you're willing to do the work that He gave you to do, I promise you complete and total victory that you will win with Jesus Christ. Things in this life are not always easy. We do carry a cross, but Jesus said, yeah, there's Friday, but don't forget about Sunday, because Sunday is coming. It will surely come. Now, there's an old gospel song that I want to finish with. An old gospel song written by Charles Tinsley. It's a beautiful song. And it simply says that, speaks first of all of the difficulties of life, but then points beyond the difficulties to the glory that waits. It says here, harder yet may be the fight, and right may often yield to might, and wickedness a while may reign, and Satan's cause may seem to gain. Ah, but there's a God that rules above with hand of power and heart of love. And if I'm right, and I know I am, He'll fight my battle. I shall have peace someday. The refrain goes on to say, I do not know how long 'twill be, nor what the future holds for me. But this I know, if Jesus leads me, I shall get home someday. Someday, brothers and sisters. Oh, for now, just ask the Lord to give you deeper faith, to desire faith with all your heart, so that, you see, what you want, you're going to get. If you want to walk in the Lord's ways more, He'll do it for you. Want, learn to wait. Learn that we need to withstand and that we need to work. But in the end, we will win. Five fundamentals for firm faith. And if we follow them, I do not know how long 'twill be, nor what the future in this world holds for me. But this I know, if Jesus leads me, I shall get home someday. Amen.